my hope is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you, in you. All right, you may be seated. Well, good morning. How is everyone? We had a little bit more spring-like weather this past week. Had some rain, had some sunshine, and the grass is turning green. We have stuff blooming still, but we just want to say it is so great to see all of you this morning. We've got people that are still vacationing, people traveling. We have some that are still sick, but we hope to see them back here soon. We want to say welcome to our visitors. We have some visitors this morning. We hope you guys feel welcome this morning. Make yourselves right at home. We've got a little bit of a special, I think I'm special this morning. We have a bit of a special service this morning. We have Brother Daniel Posado with us all the way from Spain this morning, and he will be doing a presentation during our service this morning, so hopefully you all came prepared to hear him speak. Directly following service, we're going to be having our monthly dogs lunch, so be prepared to stay for that. We will also celebrate those that had birthdays and anniversaries during the month. Then directly following lunch, we will be having an organizational vacation Bible school meeting. Amber has prepared some stuff to inform you all about the upcoming vacation Bible school. So please stay for that. If for whatever reason you cannot stay for that meeting, please see Amber if you are planning on helping out with Vacation Bible School in any way, shape, or form. Pastor wanted me to mention, if you have been approached to be part of the Sanctuary Color Committee, please stay directly following service. He wants to meet with you all. Just very briefly.
Yeah, let's just meet back in that West Overflow.
Meet in the West Overflow classroom for that. This coming Sunday, next Sunday morning, our teens are going to be hosting a pancake breakfast. It is a fundraiser that where all the proceeds are going to be going to the Five Loaves, Two Fish ministry that they give to. So that will be from 8 to 9:15. So it'll be before breakfast next Sunday, $3 per person. All proceeds go to that ministry. Easter is just right around the corner, a few weeks away. As we've done in the past, we will have a continental breakfast from 9 to 9:45 in the fellowship hall. There will not be any Sunday school. The Easter celebration service will start here in the sanctuary at 10, and then directly following service, we will have an Easter egg hunt for all kids 6th grade and under. So for that Easter egg hunt, A lot of you may have noticed out on the credenza.
I have late breaking news.
Oh boy.
Just in case you needed something to help you have a reason to invite your friends, the Easter egg hunt will include one grand prize egg. That egg will include a pass for a family of four to the Nixa Center pool all summer long.
Ooh. So, in past years, we have had well over 1,000 eggs. So we're hoping we have enough kids to where we're still going to need that. But in order to have that many eggs, we need your help. Out on the credenza, we have several plastic bags that have eggs in them. If you can, stop by that credenza, pick up one of those bags, take them home, fill them with candy, come back, bring them back, and we will have them for Easter Sunday. If you can't do that, if you can just bring candy, we can fill those eggs ourselves. It is a little bit easier if you take them and fill them, but if you want to just bring some candy, I promise I won't eat all that candy. We'll make certain they get in the eggs, and we'll have hopefully a great, great turnout for Easter. Then lastly, just an update on our Mission Possible. We're a little over $21,000 raised before our halfway deadline of March 31st. You guys are doing great. Keep up the great work and just give as you feel led. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ben. Appreciate that so much. If our ushers will come this morning, we'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. Remember in your prayers, Pastor Don, who is away on his annual fishing trip, and usually he's catching fish to go to the annual fish fry. It happens in August, so pray that he does well, then you'll eat well. And so he deserves the time for lack relaxation, and so we want to remember him in our prayers. And Sister Ruth is, indeed, she is without him this week. We appreciate so much your support. You will have an opportunity. There is a blue card in your bulletin, and you'll have the opportunity to present that blue card if you are so led at the conclusion of the service this morning. So this is for your regular tithes and offerings. We will collect the blue cards at the end of our missionaries' presentation this morning for our faith promise giving. So hang on to those until that point in time. Brother Rennie, if you would come ask God's blessing on the offering this morning and receive.
Father, as we come to you this morning, we do thank you for the blessings of life, for how that you have blessed us with material things and riches. And now as we come and participate in this form of worship, where we return our tithes and our offerings, we just ask that you'll be with each and every gift that is given and that I'll be used in accordance to your will. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask it and pray. Amen.
Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that sings
your praise. Oh God, we bear
Share with you a thank you note. Church family, thank you so much for the meals, love, support, and prayers over the last few months. We are so thankful for a healthy baby girl. We look forward to sharing and introducing her to you all. Love, Cody, Heather Remy, and Isla Swearingen. So appreciate your prayers. It has been an exciting time for our family as we celebrate the birth of this, in our mind, miracle child. And so we're thankful for that. And we celebrate also this morning. We're glad to have Reverend Daniel Posado with us to speak to us in Faith Promise. And you have been praying for his grandbaby. And the Thursday before Isla was born on Saturday, indeed, their baby was delivered in Spain. And everything is going well with family and child. And so we thank you for your prayers and your mindfulness there. We want to again remember Pastor Don as he's away on a time of refreshment and a vacation. We want to particularly also remember several of you are following kind of the situation with Grayson Barnhart. Of course, Shane was a part of our congregation as a little boy. And then I had the privilege of marrying he and Sarah. And this past couple of weeks has been kind of a nightmare for them in a lot of ways. But God is working in that situation. And so we pray that you will continue to remember Grayson Barnhart as he's dealing with a brain bleed issue. There are some seizures that have been taking place. He was put back in intensive care. And so he's 8 months old. And so remember him in your prayers that God indeed will do a wonderful thing in their midst. We also want to be praying for Sue Kirk, who is going to be remaining in California until about the 1st of May. Her uncle passed away, and she's helping her aunt in that situation. There will be a memorial service about the 20th of April. And so Sue will be away from us until
at that point in time. We continue to pray for the other churches that are going through the Church Health Initiative, as we are. They're listed each week, a different church there in your bulletin. And then we just got news this morning as we came into Sunday school. Some of you are well acquainted with the Myers family that has been a part of the Grace Church off and on through the years. Gene and Dorothy, well known. Matter of fact, Bobby Joe, his brother, was my Sunday school teacher when I was a kid growing up in Dogwood, so we've known the family for quite some time. Some of you are aware of the battle that Kay Myers has been fighting with cancer, and she surrendered that battle to the Lord and has gone on to be with Jesus. And so if you'd remember Steve Myers and his family this morning, we would appreciate that so very, very much as they are grieving the loss of their loved one. Let's stand together at this time, and we're going to sing together. The altars are open to you if you have need of them this morning, a place of a prayer, a place to lay down burdens, to lift up praise, whatever the case might be. But indeed, there may be many situations that are on your hearts and minds this morning. And if you need a place just to surrender those to the Lord, you feel free to come as we sing, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer this morning.
Lord, I give you every road, guide my steps and take control, till this journey leads me home. Lord, I give you every road. Lord, I give you all my past. Find me holding nothing back. Cleanse me, make me free at last. Lord, I give you all my past.
Father, what a privilege and a blessing it is to come into your house, to sit alongside your children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to come to a place and a time where we can acknowledge you as Lord of our lives, time where we can lift you up and give you our praise, that we can offer thanks to you for all of the many blessings of this life. Father, a time where we can also lay down those things that are heavy upon our heart and mind. Father, we just thank you for having listening ears and open arms and attentive eyes to our needs. You said you have a knowledge of need of everything we have before we even know it. But Lord, you've asked us to speak to you. You've asked us to verbalize our need. Lord, we need to acknowledge our dependence upon you. It's such a contrast. We're taught all of our lives as children and then teenagers to become independent, to move out of the house and to get a job and make it on our own. And so, Lord, that's the philosophy that is a good philosophy for the earth. But Lord, it's not how we need to respond to you. Lord, we need to, in a complete contrast, cast ourselves in utter abandon on you. We need to be totally dependent on you. And so, Lord, today we ask that you would teach us those lessons that we need to learn. Help us to see those things that are a different philosophy than the philosophy of the world. And help us, Father, to understand your word, your teaching, the things that you have spoken on behalf of the Father to us while you were here on this earth. We thank you for the Bible, God's holy word. We thank you for the direction that it gives to us, for the history that it preserves, and for the example that it puts before us of the life that you lived in unison with the Father. And Lord, our desire today is that we would yield our will to you, that we would give you our lives, Lord, and that whatever road we're going to travel, we would want it to be the road that you have set forth for us to travel. Lord, we would want it to be the path that you would have us to trot. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings. We have so many things to be thankful for. We thank you for ultimately our soul salvation, the opportunity to have the assurance of eternal life in heaven with you. But Lord, while we're here, we have a responsibility to you to go and make disciples. And Lord, the very thing that we're going to emphasize today in the work of missions is that you want the whole world to know that there's no one in your creation, whether they're the same color as us or they speak a different language, none of those things matter, Lord. All men and women and boys and girls are your creation. And you have a desire to have a relationship with them. And Lord, we come here to be refreshed and renewed and equipped to go out and to make disciples in our world. To show Jesus Christ through the way we live our lives. To share Jesus Christ from the words we speak. That we might make disciples of the nations. Lord, we thank you for Reverend Daniel Posado today. We thank you for his willingness to come. We thank you for his life and ministry. We thank you for his family that he has separated himself from for this period of time to make this tour and to travel and tell of the work that is done there in Spain. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray that the churches that he connects to and represents on this Lord's Day, that as they meet, that there would be filled with your power and your presence. And Lord, that many good things would happen while he's away, that when he returns home, that he'll hear of people coming to Christ, people accepting you as their personal Savior, that Father, he will know that the people have come to understand what it is to carry on the work in his absence. And Lord, that he can indeed promote the work here in the States, that funding can be supplied, and indeed that, Lord, that we would give to the work of missions in general because of the stories of life change that we hear this morning through the work there in Spain. Father, we want to thank you for this birth in his family's life, this new baby that has come. Lord, new life is the miracle you continue to do over and over again, and you want to give new life spiritually to people just like you grant new life to us. We thank you for our own granddaughter that we've been blessed with. And Lord, we just pray that that as we get excited about these babies that are born here on earth, Father, to our families physically, help us to get equally as excited about those who are born into the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity of being here, of worshiping together, of being in your presence, of feeling your love, hearing your word, and being incited to go out and do the Great Commission. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We pray your hand upon the families who have experienced just this day loss in their life. Oh, Lord, there are all kinds of loss, and other people may have experienced it in other ways and places, and so we pray your hand would be upon them. Pray, Father, that you would have your will and your way in all that's said and done here today, and we'll give you praise for it all. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. It is indeed our privilege this morning to have Reverend Daniel Posado with us, all the way from Buenos Aires, Argentina, via the United States, via Spain, and now Nixon, Missouri. And so, Brother Daniel, come and share with us what God is doing in your life and the work that you represent.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Thank you for having me this morning. I'm sorry to be by myself. You'll see soon the reasons, because I'm alone. I enjoy having time with the people that attend the Sunday school this morning. I'm going to say a couple words just for the ones that didn't attend Sunday school, because I'm struggling a lot in Spain to get people, everybody in Sunday school. You know what? I'm learning a lot in Sunday school. And I need Sunday school, and I'm on time every single Sunday. Not because I'm a pastor. It's because I want to be there, because I want to learn a lot. So I want to encourage people to come to Sunday school every single time. I'm pastoring right now in Madrid for 2 years now, again. And what I'm telling people is, you know what my hope is? I hope that every time that we open the church, everybody's going to attend. That's my hope. Amen. So thank you for having me Sunday school and sharing a little bit different from personal, probably, touristical perspective. I'm Daniel Pesado. As has been said, my wife is not with me, and I want to tell you about what the Lord is doing in particularly Southern Europe. In fact, we call it Western Mediterranean field. I'm in charge of church planting and evangelism there, working and living in Spain most of the time, living in Madrid. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from the Bible because I want to tell more like a story. And the title of the story is, What Kind of Church Are We Edifying? We have a call. And it's a call very clear, very particular to edify, to cooperate with God on edifying His church. So this is what we are trying to do everywhere, here in Nixa, and there in Spain and Southern Europe, all over the world. God is at work, and we have a call. It doesn't really matter who we are, how old we are, where we were born. It doesn't really matter our language or the accent. We all have a call to cooperate with God on edifying His church. So the question is, what kind of church are we trying to edify for God? I'm going to read just three. I'm tempted. I'm a preacher. I said to the pastor, but I'm not going to preach. So I'm tempted to do it. But I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Mark chapter 2. I'm not going to even read the whole story because it's well known and it's beautiful. And I'm going to suggest to you that if you read carefully, that these are 12 verses. You'll find a very specific pattern how to cooperate with God on edifying His church. It starts like this. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard. Something was told. People heard that He had come home. And look what happened. Just to let you with a little taste of in your mouth what happened. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Right there, just there, you have 3-4 principles. Just to start, if you want to cooperate with God. When you see a missionary, you see a missionary that is sent by somebody. We don't send ourselves. In our particular case, we are Christians. We are evangelical. We are Nazarenes. What you see over there is the extension of the International Church of the Nazarene down there in South America, in Buenos Aires, the city of Pilar. In fact, this is about 25 minutes from my home place where I used to grow, and in fact, where we became a Christian with my wife when she was my girlfriend. So that's the regional office on Buenos Aires, Argentina, for South America. So the Church of the Nazarene is a sending church. Next picture, please. But also we are part of local churches like this beautiful, wonderful church that you have in here. So these were our pastors. Both of them are passed away long ago. But we became Christians under their pastorate. And my church wasn't a big church. We never had more than 100 people probably on church. Never. But this pastor, they have such a huge heart for God and for missions. I didn't understand at the beginning. But eventually, I would say this is one of the main reasons. Not the only one, but one of the main reasons we are here this very morning serving God as your missionaries. Next picture, please. But as you see, we are also part of regular families. In this particular case, very, very regular families. These are mom and dad. That was the last picture that I got all of us together when they were alive still. Mom was battling Parkinson's disease. Her name was Eve. His name was Oscar. And these are a beautiful. I mentioned to the Sunday school people today, Christian and Nazarene for more than 55 years till both of them passed away. That was a wonderful love story for among them, for the church, for God. And that's another main reason because we are here, or I'm here this very morning. So wherever I go, I want to mention all these people because they are important to me. Next one, please. Okay, that's the family pretty much as it is today. The dog is missing. He's gone, but most of us are still here. No grandchildren there, but we have my wife, Margarita, and myself. And then the one on the middle on top is my daughter, Natalia, the one that lives in Marion, Kansas, with her husband, Diego. And then the ones to your left, am I right? I'm watching the same like you are watching. Okay, to the left. I'm confused. You know what? We put a screen just 2 weeks ago to do exactly the same in Spain now. So I'm getting used to it. To the left, that's our second, a boy, Ignatius, married to Lizzie. They were the mom. She was the mom a week ago. And they live in Barcelona, Spain. He's a pastor. And he's my boss. He's the district superintendent of Spain now. The youngest ever on the denomination. He was 28 when he became the district superintendent. I scratched my head and said, oh my. But he's learning a lot. He's doing well. He survived. And the one in the middle, still young. Ladies, available. 30, just 30 years old and single. Can you believe that? You can get him for free. Well, you know what? If there is a good offer, you can get also the dog. Him and the dog, Bruno, that's the name of the dog. Next picture, please. Okay, no kids. That's the way we replace kids, with dogs. That's Bonnie. She lives in Madrid with us. Next one, please. Okie dokie. That's one of the reasons because my wife is not with me. That was, that was the first of the four that we have now. Her name is Lujan. She lives in Barcelona with mom and dad, and her little sister was born like 10 days ago or so. Next one, please. Okay, that is Lujan. She is a little older now, and a family of servants. He's a pastor, as I said, and also the district superintendent for Spain District. Next one, please. Okay, that's the reason because my wife is not with me, Camila and Sofia. They live in Marion, Kansas, and nothing much more to explain. Next one, please. What about that one? Don't you like that picture? And I wrote there, this is not from a magazine, just by chance, because that's a real picture of Camila and Sofia. And what about the next one? Look at that one. These are crazy girls. We love them, and I had the chance to spend like 24 hours, a little more with them, and they are so lovely. And when we are in Europe, we miss them a lot. Next one, please. Okay, let's go back to work. That's the challenge. Western Mediterranean field. All these people, I think it's about 120, 170, almost 200 million people that we are supposed to be reaching in all these countries, from Portugal to Greece. We just got into Greece a few months ago. In fact, the missionary, the Herdens, are waiting for their visas, so we need to pray for the Herdens, Shannon and Josh, to get their visas to remain in the country to start the church. Right now we have a war just with refugees. There is a couple from England, the Tarrants, Paul and Dorothy, working with them, and hopefully when they move back to Britain, Josh and Shannon may continue the work and remain in the country to start the Church of the Nazarene on Greece. That's going to be at least the second attempt that I know of. It hasn't been easy up to now to start the Church of the Nazarene, so we need a lot of prayer for Greece. So Spain, Portugal, France, Italy, and Greece are part of the Mediterranean field. And I'm going to say a few words about Morocco soon. Next one, please. Okay, that's Spain. They were asking me about how Catholic Spain are. Spain is, hear that. That's every single, I wouldn't say week, but several times a year in every town, there is a procession like this one. That's, I watch this from the window of my house where I live on. I live in an apartment on top of the church, and this is passing by. And if you see the priest over there with a purple, he's staring at me. He realized I was taking a picture from the window, and he knew that below we have a Protestant or evangelical church. So that probably the reason, because he was looking at me. Over the 98.5% of Spain is strongly Catholic. We said this morning, more Catholic than the Pope, in fact. Next one, please. That's the street that we live in, Pelicano Street, Madrid, typical Europe. All apartments, wherever you look at, there is no just one little piece of land free. In all apartments, and people laugh at me because I said that in Spain, we pray for a parking spot. Well, we really do. And you know, people from the World Conquest team that came the end of January to Zaragoza, Spain, from Indianapolis, they loved me when I visited them the year before, saying about that we pray for parking spots almost daily. And but when they made it over, they said, oh, we remember that you said that. And it is true. You pray. You need to pray. After driving many hours from wherever we are coming from, maybe Lisbon, Portugal, or southern France, or Barcelona, 6, 7, 8 hours, and you know that you are getting a place that there is no parking place, you pray about it. So that's a common thing over there. Next one, please. Okay, that's the living room of the house. We have a pretty nice setting to live in. We have a meeting with leaders from France, Portugal. That's Shosh over there, the one with the blue shirt, now in Greece. A guy from Germany, my son is standing there and planning how to start new churches. Next one, please. Okay, what we do is to train pastors. This is the main issue for us. I would say not just there in Europe or Spain or Western Mediterranean field, all over the world. We are lacking leadership. We need leaders. We are desperate as a denomination, as a field, as a country, personally. We are desperated by leaders. We have no enough leaders, and that's the key issue to grow the church. You need the pastors eventually, and you need from there on all kind of leaders to start churches. You cannot start churches without pastors, and that's the main issue. That's the main problem that we have. So what we are working is with an extension of the seminary, the one that used to be in Switzerland. Probably you heard that has been sold. The office has been installed in Frankfurt, Germany. So they have extensions all over the countries. So the students, which is better than sending them to Switzerland, are remaining in the country, and they send lecturers. So it's more contextualized the way that they are taught. So we are training them to be the future pastors. Next one, please. So we try to reach as many young men and women as possible. We know that we want all kind of people. But we know that when we are talking to young men and women, they have more time to give to God. So that's the reason, because even though we expect everybody to come part of the work, we usually trying to reach mostly young men and women, like in this particular Congress. Next one, please. I'm preaching in a youth camp meeting in August. And I remember that particular day, probably like 40 people came to the front answering the call. We hope that some of them are becoming pastors. That's something that somehow intrigues me, sometimes bothers me. I've been thinking, when was the last time that I heard a call on a message on the call, a sermon on the call? I'm just trying to remember. And I guess, if I'm not mistaken, that it was last time when I was in South America and Dr. Louis Basser was the regional director and he had it clear enough to preach on the call every single chance that he got just a few people there. He was talking sanctification on the call, sanctification on the call, sanctification, and you cannot separate them, obviously. So no wonder that we have no people answering the call, because if we are not preaching on the call, so that's what I'm doing every single chance that I have the opportunity to talk to young men and women. Next one, please. Okay, this is a summer camp in August. It works really well for us. It works. We are running 130, 140. It's getting bigger every single year, young men and women, so we are having a chance to talk to them about spiritual matters and the call again. Next one, please. And once we identify them, we train them, we release the church to them. The church, we love the church. It's my life, but it's not my church. So we need to trust on people. And sometimes there are certain risks on that. Jesus had to accept risks. And some of them were really huge risks. But still, he trusted some people and released the church to some of the ones that probably we couldn't trust like Jesus did. But that's the reason because we have a church today, because he did it back then. Next one, please. We have hundreds of baptism. That is in Barcelona. Our son is baptizing that day were like 18 people. Next picture, please. That was in our church, the one we are pastoring. We baptized, I think, 12 that day. Next one, please. Again, this last summer, we were baptizing in how many? 7 more over there. And next one, please. We baptized all ages. See the face of the boy? He's so excited. He was having a wonderful, terrific time. He was enjoying the chance to give testimony to the ones on the shore looking at him being baptized. Next one, please. You know him? You know him. The picture is a little too clear. He's Jerry Porter, Dr. Porter. And we were together with Tony and my wife and him in Morocco. And that's the reason because I mentioned Morocco a few minutes ago. 33 million people, no church, no church of the Nazarene, and no church as such. There are just a few work here and there. And we have a food already there. But just, probably not even the whole food. And Dr. Port is praying. He's retiring. He's not retiring. He's resigning, in fact. He has, I think, 2 more years to go still after this next General Assembly. He wants to be the one to open the work in Morocco. So he's learning the language, and he asked for us to pray about it. He must be probably close to 70 now, but still, he want to go to Morocco. And we were walking, and I said to Jerry, why don't you pretend that you are knocking the door? Just pretend, because we don't speak any Arabic, so people come out, we don't know what to say about it. And he was just trying to put his best possible happy face, pretending that you know him, how he is. And we called the preacher knocking the doors of Morocco. People waiting to hear about Jesus. It's such a strong culture. Hopefully you can see a little video soon. Next one, please. Okay, that's the video. Let's try to see. I want you to have a taste how strong the Muslim culture is. Can you raise up the volume? And then come down. Have a little taste of how strong it can be to live in a country like Morocco. And this is one of the most open Muslim countries because they are so close to Europe, so they have many Europeans go as a vacation destination to Morocco. In fact, they have some wonderful beaches. But that's huge. We were having lunch with Dr. Porin, Tony, and my wife, and there is the lady that she want to appear on the video because has to be somehow, you know, hiding. And they start to call for mass 5 times a day, like this, start like 4:45 in the morning. Supposed to, everybody on the country has to hear the call from any given mosque. So that's the challenge. So you see, there is no money to get there cannot be made with a sword or with a horses or with a human strength. It has to be through prayer to the power of the Holy Spirit. People ready to die for. Who's going to be going? Who shall I send? Probably one of your sons and daughters. Probably. Next picture, please. Him, we were just passing by in Morocco, and from the distance I see, oh, look, I said, a Christmas tree. But that was, you know, far away. And then I said, but I'm dumb. Christmas tree in Morocco? They don't have a clue about Christmas. And when we made it, I found all these goats, you know, there is not much food on the ground, so they would climb in the tree just for food. Though that, and they charge you to make pictures of it. They are not dumb as we are. Next one, please. That's my wife, a woman of courage. Can you see the courage in his face? But she did it. I didn't even try. Next one, please. Okay. Another. You remember Avila City that I mentioned this morning in Sunday school? That's another view. It's a magnificent place. One more picture. Okay, that's the oldest restaurant in the world. You can read about it in Guinness Books of the Records. They are serving meals, I repeat it for the one that wasn't this morning, they weren't on the Sunday school, since 1917 serving meals. They changed the menu, obviously, from time to time, but still, the oldest restaurant in the world. Next one, please. That's a Roman aqueduct, 2,000 years old, and is still working in downtown Segovia City. That's old. That's when we speak about all things here in the States and America, sometimes people over there laugh. They say, old, 60, 70 years old. Over there will be 60 years new, 60 years young. No, that's old. That's old. This is a different concept. That helps you to understand how many layers of tradition are in everybody's spirit or minds that we need to work through to get to the real heart, the real center of their lives. Next one, please. The Moorish or Islamic influence is all over the country. They live over there 700 years. So beautiful places like this one are all over the country, especially to the south and east. So, well, all south, especially toward the south. Next one, please. That's the city of Toledo, nearby Madrid, 45 minutes away from Madrid. Charles V was the king of Spain and Germany at the same time, and they want to have a central city for the head of his empire, and he thought in Toledo. So he started to build, surrounding the city with big walls. There is a wonderful river passing by right here, this is not a very clear picture. It was at noon, but it's a wonderful place. People going over there. Love it. I'm going to tell you why I'm showing this picture. Next one, please. Okay, paella again. So we love paella. She's from Spain. She's a good cook. She prepared paella for probably that one, 20 people. They use big casseroles, and they prepared even sometimes for 50, 60 people all together. That's wonderful. It's mostly rice and seafood. It depends on the region of the country. They can put some chicken on it and things like that. But it's terrific. Next one, please. Okay, that's my wife wearing a very typical Spaniard dress. We try to become all things to our people who say some. So we try to identify with people as much as we can. Next one, please. There is a lot of... Well, let me just stop here and then, because these are going to be some churches. The reason because I was showing these pictures is because we would love you to come over to Spain. So I was tempting you to come over to Spain and visit and stay there and help us. You can do almost everything. We need almost everything. I've been asked Sunday school if we receive work and witness teams. Yes, we cannot receive big work and witness teams, but we can receive just a small team, a couple, two couples, three couples, or singles for a couple of weeks, and you can do a lot. If you are kind of handy with whatever, electricity or different furniture in masonry or even spiritual teaching or training youth and Sunday school teachers. We need that, for example. So you can do both things together if you want to. So we would love to have you. If you come over, I can take you to one of these places to visit. That would be fantastic. Let's make a, what's the word? If you come over, promise, I get you there. Okay? Next one, please. Okay. That's one of the churches in Madrid, Fuenlabrada Church, a little south of Madrid, like 15 minutes. Church is packed. They need to move, and they are renting now. We own a place, but we need to rent because church grew up. Next one, please. That's another church in the southern part of Spain. This is becoming a church this very year, so we are growing. Next one, please. He's the pastor. He's from the Ukraine. That's one of the last miracles that we've seen in Spain. We pray a lot. We pray a lot. When I took the church, we started to pray 7 in the morning, Saturdays, and there is a very well-attended prayer service, about 40 people there. And that's 40% of the actual congregation attending the service. 7 in the morning, we pray Tuesday, 7:30. We pray Wednesdays, is fasting and prayer. And then we have houses for prayer, just for prayer. 5 houses that we pray every single day of the week. So we are praying, and obviously we pray every single service that we are together, and we are emphasizing different ways. You say, we don't understand prayer sometimes. It was E.M. Bounds that who said, no, it was always Chambers, sorry. That one, he said, we don't understand prayer, he said. We believe that prayer is the preparation for the work. But now, he said, prayer is the work. So that's our strategy. Our strategy is prayer. And once you pray, you'll start to think, you start to see things that can be done that you couldn't see because we weren't praying enough. So prayer is the one, basically speaking, opening the ways to help the churches. And he was really sick in the Ukraine. He didn't know what was the problem. He moved to Spain, and the doctors discovered just right away, in a few minutes, you have leukemia. So, and he was, you know, really, really in bad condition. But we start to prayer. We start to pray. And we pray like 2 years. And about, not going to be 5 months ago, he was declared clean completely. Amen. Completely clean. So that was a huge miracle. It impacted everybody's life. His wife is beautiful, Irina, that's her name. They had 2 beautiful children, small children. So the church is so excited now, it's growing faster. And, you know, because God heard prayers, answered prayers. Next one, please. That's another church in Seville. It's also packed. And that used to be a place where they used to make bread. We have no sanctuaries like the ones you have in here, not even one. So we would love to have at least one for general political assemblies, for everything. Not even one. So what we do is we buy some stores or something and we remodel it like this one. We see the columns there right in the middle. But that's what we can afford. But all churches are packed. Next one, please. That's the one we are pastoring again. That used to be a garage many years ago. And we took it 2 years ago. The church is full. It's really, really packed right now. We changed the chairs because they were too big, so we put smaller ones to seat more people. Now we start to talk about a second service and doing many things to help the church to continue to grow. Next one, please. That's the one, our son is pastoring in Barcelona. It's also packed, as you can see. See the columns right in the middle? There are 2. That's what we do. That's what we can afford. Next one, please. That's one new church nearby Madrid. That's a different kind of church, more contemporary church, I would call it probably. Next one, please. That's one more, northern Barcelona, renting a place. Next one, please. That's a church in Galicia, northwest of the country, and we start in a house like the one right here. It's an apartment. And in the next picture, you see, we were receiving the first 21 members. We are renting a place for them now. Next one, please. We need to prepare our books. That's an old picture, but basically speaking, represents what we need to do in Spanish. We translate continuously materials for the curriculum for Sunday school, the Word Action curriculum. We have it all the books that we need to train pastors and a translator as well. So we do everything we need to get the materials for churches to grow, evangelize, and to train the pastors as well. So we really believe on training people. Next one, please. Okay, that's a few churches from the field of Western Mediterranean. That's the farthest south in Italy, in Catania Church. They have a beautiful building, wonderful church. Next one, please. That's the one in Rome. That's a very old building. They have the house and a small chapel below. In fact, that works like a bed and breakfast, the part of the top. If you go to Rome, check on the internet, and you have a place to stay for a few euros. It's really cheap. Next one, please. That's the farthest north in Torino. There are a few more churches in between. And this pastor, the one to the left, Walter and Renata, the one beside my wife, they just became the district superintendents of Portugal. So they are moving this April to Portugal. So we are praying for the pastor to replace them on Moncalieri, which is Torino city, north of Italy. Next one, please. Okay, this is the last church that has been organized a few months ago. We are excited. In fact, a year ago. The new church on Delicias, Delight, that would be in English, in Zaragoza City. We start the first church in Zaragoza with my wife, and then the first church in Zaragoza started the second church. That's the way it works. We are really, really, really excited seeing a new thing going on in Spain. Next one, please. Okay, there are a few of the pastors right here that are missing, like three over there. So people that really work hard to... They're giving their lives, in fact, with huge challenges, trying to really understand a culture and how to get into, you know, this such a mindset dominated by the Catholic culture for centuries. And but we are making progress together. Next one, please. Okay, that's our son, the first district superintendent. You see, we are this mixed feeling of we are proud of it, but we were scared to death, honestly, at the beginning, because we were gone 8 years from Spain. We were there from 95 to 2004, and then we left for 8 years, and we came back. And as soon as we came back, a year later, I think it was, Dr. Porter assigned him as the district superintendent, the youngest ever on the nomination. He was 28. We said, oh, my goodness. You see, you know your kids, am I right? We know him. And he was so lazy. So, oh, my goodness. He's going to make it. He's never going to get married. He's going to become a father. Well, we didn't know how much God made on his life during the 80 years we weren't together. He went to college. He went to the seminary in Switzerland. He met his... wife, I married them, in fact, I went back to marry them, and he became a parent, and then he became a pastor, and then now he's a totally, completely different, wonderful, beautiful man of God. So we didn't realize, so you need hear from a missionary, you need to try your kids, amen? Next one, please. What about that picture? That's Europe. They are slept. We were walking nearby the Colosseum. In fact, this guy is just 30, 40 meters from the Colosseum in Rome. He was supposed to be working, carrying tourists, making some money, you know, to feed his family. But he was sleeping and snoring like crazy. And he became the main attraction because everybody was taking pictures of him instead of the Colosseum. You see the guy over there laughing behind him? So, and I said, you see, this is the condition of Europe. And we need to wake them up somehow. We need to find a way. And the way to do it is, you know, is Jesus coming into their lives and shaking their lives a little so they realize how big is their need of God. Next one, please. Okay, and that's us. And we have a call to preach the good news. And in the next picture, this is a good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, release to the oppressed, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. No plan B for us. That we are getting old. I wasn't like this always. But there is nothing else that we want to do till we can make it physically, mentally, spiritually. We'll keep on doing what we are doing. And the last picture has to do with prayer. And that's the main reason you can pray about God's move. We want a revival. We don't want just a few converts. We want to see something big. We married? No. God can do it? Yes. I don't know why he did it sometimes. I don't think the time that he did it some places, they were better Christian than we are. Honestly, I don't believe it. I believe that they were just like us. But for some reason, they paid a price. I don't know, praying or fasting and looking for the face of God. And somehow they were more tender, open to people. I don't know why, but they can do it today, they can do it here, they can do it in Spain or in Europe. New leaders, because we still need the pastors, converts, and eventually they will become the churches. And I'll go back to the two verses. It says a few days later, and I'm going to dunk with it. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, a few days later he came back. Where he was? Well, he was on Galilee. If you can read chapter 1, you see what he has been doing. He has been teaching, he has been preaching, he has driving out demons, he has been healing people. In fact, he made the only mistake that, that Jesus made at least one mistake? You don't know. Well, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Some people consider that a mistake. And in fact, some people say that that's the reason because Peter denied him later because he healed his mother-in-law. But I don't say that. People say that. And after doing all this work, he came back to Capernaum. And even though I didn't read the whole story, you know the story. So I want to call your attention to this. Remember what he was doing in Galilee, and remember what he did when he came back home. What he did. Preach, teach, heal. He was always on mission. It doesn't really matter where he was. At home or abroad. He was always on mission. You want to cooperate with God. We need to understand this very basic principle. We need to be always, 24/7, we say in here, and we said, well, at missions. And he came back to a place where he used to for this part of his life and ministry. And he entered Capernaum. And hear what it says in here. It says, people heard that he had come home. So I wonder that, knowing the place, small houses, not much room to do anything inside. So most of the life those days were happening outside, cooking, doing the laundry, taking care of little animals, whatever. And I wonder that two ladies were just doing bread or doing some homework outside of the house. And they were chatting because, when ladies are together, you usually chat because they love chatting. They love chatting about everything. My wife is one person that she loves chatting and talking and talking. All of a sudden, one looked to the entrance of the town of Capernaum and said, hey, this is not Jesus. And the other one looked in the same direction. Oh, you were right. He's Jesus. He's coming back. So one of the ladies went running to her house, talked to her husband, and the other one ran into her house, talked to her husband, say, honey, Jesus is back. And the other one did exactly the same, Jesus is back. And tell the kids, kids, go tell the neighbors, tell auntie or uncle or your aunt that Jesus is back. And he went running to the neighbor next house, telling Jesus is back. And everybody in town, this is what it says in here, everybody in town knew that Jesus was back. I don't know if you have a better news than this one this morning for Nixa. They knew that there is a place where Jesus is back. And he can be found. He can be known. He can be seen at action. He's present. He's back. He's back at home. He's back right here in the middle of his people. He's back. He's back. Can you imagine going to people all over Nixa saying, you know, Jesus is back. Jesus is a church. Jesus is with us. You want to come and visit? I want to introduce him to you because I know him personally. I've been talking to him this very morning. If you call, I can promise, if you come with me, you'll see Jesus this very morning. It made me shake. It made me waver. The real person. Not the tradition. Not the one in the movies. Not the one in the books. The real person of Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen? People heard that he was back. See, people have problems with everything. With Mr. Trump. With Mr. Obama. People have problems with religions. With these old prosperity preachers, the ones on TV that some of them made me really sick, and when they put some of them in Spain on TVN, I embarrassed about it. I said, hopefully Spaniards don't see that. Honestly, that's the way I feel about some of these preachers. I hope that the Spaniards don't see them. Because of then I'm going to be going to them and telling, are you talking about the same Jesus that these guys on TV are talking about? And I need to say, yes and no. See, people have problems with all these kind of things, but still, they need Jesus. Because there is no hope besides him. And everybody knew. And what happened? We are talking about building his church, cooperating with God and building his church. What happened? Oh, that was an automatic, response. So many gathered that there was no room left. So many. What was the reason? What was the reason? What attracted the people? The beautiful building? The color? You have a committee to decide a color to paint the church? I never heard that. I need to learn. Not to be too bossy. The color? The good music? The singing? This wonderful, tender kind of pastor that you have? The good preaching or teaching? The good missionary work. What were the reasons for people to be there? Just one reason. The presence of Jesus. Can we get it? Can we? Really? There is no reason to do anything if Jesus is not going to be present. What we can offer. Hopefully we don't miss the point. And that's it. There is no more time. I'm tempted to preach, I said to the pastor. I'm not going to be doing it. But study the story. It's amazing. It is amazing. And just ends up saying, and this amazed everyone. And then what happened? The feast, the celebration took place. Now there is a reason to celebrate. And we praise God, saying, never, never, we have never seen anything like this. Why we do what we do? Because we want God's name to be glorified. That's the reason because we do what we do. May God bless you. Thank you for having me this morning. You are welcome to come over, not together, but, you know, if you call on time, we can receive, you know, all of you different weeks. We would love to see you. I have a prayer card. I don't know if somebody can help me to at least one per family so you can remember the prayers that are there and also here. And there is an email so you can write to me.